Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Avenue 3 here on a Friday afternoon. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you whether listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Each and every one of you dirty heathens.
Yes, even the people that believe that they are blocked from the Vancouver Ford text line and have not been.
When you get a fake automated message sent to you.
Yeah.
If that, you troll, you will get trolled back.
Yeah. Danny's got fish on. Got a fish on. That is really funny. You have not been blocked, sir or ma'am.
Yes. We continue our college football rivalry trophy matchup, trying to find the best rivalry trophies in all of college football. Revisiting yesterday's matchups, an upset. The Cy-Hawk Trophy of Iowa-Iowa State takes down the Troops Secretary's Trophy between Army and Navy. Wow, a lot of America haters out there.
The listeners of Danny and Dusty not supporting the Troops right now.
I'm disappointed in all of you. Disappointed.
Hey, I did not vote for the Cy-Hawk. I want it to be known.
We also have another upset, perhaps, in round number two.
This one may be greater in my mind.
The Seminole War Canoe of Florida and Miami upsets the paddle wheel of Pitt in Cincinnati.
The paddle wheel is so dope. But, I mean, a 10-foot canoe is also pretty rad.
You're not wrong.
That was a banger of a matchup in the first round.
The Paniolo Trophy. Not Pantiolo. Pantiolo.
Every time you say it for the first time, I think you're saying the Pantyholder Trophy.
Pantyholder.
That would be... I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. We have a bucket of nails.
Just go full road trip and have a giant pair of cheetah panties.
We have like a
what is that,
jug.
A flag?
We have jugs, pig trophies that are named after rival governors. This should not be a surprise to anybody if it was a panty holder, but it's not. It's the Paniola Trophy.
Paniolo. Of Hawaii and Wyoming versus the Golden Cannon. The little Golden Cannon runs away with it. 72-28.
Ridiculous. It's a tiny cannon. It's a tiny cannon. You stick a BB in that cannon
to
shoot.
It's a marble. It's a marble.
Kids can't learn in this school.
It's a school for ants. The Florida Cup of Florida, Miami, Florida State versus the Saddle of TCU, Texas Tech. One of the biggest smashings we've had. 89-11. Saddle runs away.
Round of applause.
All right, those are our matchups from yesterday. Our matchups today, the FOYODK trophy between Alabama and Auburn, the sportsmanship trophy.
That's rich. Alabama-Auburn play for a sportsmanship trophy.
Mm-hmm.
There have literally been people murdered over this game.
And a tree poisoned.
We've had people and trees murdered over this game, but sportsmanship trophy.
That is going up against the Heartland Trophy. The Big Ten strikes again. Iowa, Wisconsin. It's a big gold bowl.
Now, the one thing that I take exception to with the FOYODK trophy, the Alabama-Auburn trophy, it's got a kicker on it.
The SEC. They didn't play offense down there.
It's like a big golden bowl.
Cup. Nice job, you kicker!
Big golden cup with a football on it, and standing on top of the football is a kicker.
Again, I stand by. It's the SEC. They didn't play offense there until a couple years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it really does bring home, though, one of the most memorable games in that rivalry is the kick six.
See? Perfect. It's like they knew.
I'm going with the Heartland Trophy.
I mean, yeah, it's a giant bowl.
Awesome name for a trophy. It's a big, giant, golden bowl. And Iowa, Wisconsin play for it. That is a perfect trophy for those two teams to play
for. Big Ten is mopping the floor so far in these matchups.
They do trophies really well. That's why Oregon and Washington need a trophy. They need one desperately.
They need to figure it out. You're coming to the Big Ten.
The Platypus Trophy has got to be rectified.
Yes, 100%.
It needs to be better.
In our second matchup, Notre Dame, Michigan State, the Megaphone Trophy, which is like the old the megaphones. Like
lame.
It's a cool-looking trophy, I'm not going to lie. But it's also going up against the Don Shula Award, fighting over who loves Don Shula more, FAU or FIU.
Did Don Shula like either of those schools?
I don't know.
So this is like a big wooden pillar. One side, it has the FIU helmet on it. Mm-hmm. The other side has the FAU helmet on it. And depending on which school wins, they get a little gold placard on the side of their helmet.
So there you go.
All right. I don't feel comfortable voting for either of these. I may abstain from this.
Wow. Okay.
I just might do it.
Next one. There's going to be a runaway here, but I don't necessarily think it should be, because I think as far as basic trophies go, this one's pretty cool. But before we get to that one, Michigan State, Indiana, the old brass spittoon.
Great.
Again, Big Ten.
Great trophy.
Full-size brass spittoon with the scores carved into the bottom ring of the spittoon.
Now, they also tarnix the S out of this
thing. Oh, it's the shiniest brass you've ever seen.
It is a
military marching band brass.
They do this
white glove.
They do it very well.
I wonder if anybody's ever used it as a spittoon. You know, like the Stanley Cup? Have you ever seen the Stanley Cup up close?
Yes, I have.
I saw
at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Random.
We did a show out there, and they brought it by.
I mean, it's the best trophy in sports.
It's a great trophy.
It's a fantastic trophy. I've talked to I don't know if he's still the same guy, the guy that goes with the trophy everywhere.
I think it is still the same guy. Sook's talked to him as well.
Yeah.
He gets asked this question a lot, like, what's the most insane thing? He's like, I can't tell you the most insane things, but I can tell you some, like, crazier things, like what has been done and with that cup, because he never leaves its side. Yep. Never.
Never. The parties that guy has seen.
Right? And what people have done around or on.
I mean, we think of, like, who's the biggest party animal? No, by being the guy with the Stanley Cup, and the greatest moment of these hockey players' lives is the day you get with that trophy, because you've been working for that for your entire life.
Think about what, like, Jaromir Jagr did with the cup.
Oh, my gosh.
I've spent a night with Jaromir Jagr. I understand how crazy that would get.
I bet this man has seen so many things that don't have statutes of limitations.
Oh, God, no. 100%. Yeah. But I say that all because I wonder if anybody's ever used the brass baton.
My experience with college football coaches would indicate, yes, it has been used as an actual spittoon, and it's been used quite often.
Right?
Yeah.
You almost kind of hope it was.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like, you know, Michigan State, because they beat Indiana more than Indiana beats Michigan State, if Michigan State's coaching staff, what they probably do is, like, it's in the trophy case and, like, that they take the recruits through. Mm-hmm. But week of the Indiana game, that comes out of the trophy case and is used as the actual spittoon for the coaching staff
there
that
you go.
Week.
A little prep. Yep. It's taking on the O'Rourke McFadden Trophy of BC and Clemson. And the only reason I'm giving this one some love is they've got the old leather helmets.
Yeah. I don't know who O'Rourke McFadden is, but you want to talk about the most old-timey name of old-timey names.
In a disgruntled face of a trophy?
It's great. He looks exactly like O'Rourke McFadden would look. And on either side, you have an old leather helmet that is of Clemson from back in the day and an old leather helmet from Boston College that's mm-hmm. been spray-painted gold. It's phenomenal presentation that they have
yes.
here. It's really good.
As far as, like, basic trophies go, this is probably the best one that we have.
I will say, though, the old brass spittoon.
Oh, this is the spittoon's a one seed.
It's a winner.
This thing's flying through.
It is a winner through and through. And there is a company that makes rivalry replicas? Trophies. You can get your old brass spittoon knockoff, and you can have it in your home.
If you're a big Michigan State or Indiana football fan.
They exist.
I mean, they're out there. They're
more for Michigan State.
I was gonna say they're mostly basketball fans that kind of like football.
I could tell you this much, though. Jonathan Smith's staff does not seem like a staff that's using the old brass spittoon to spit in.
He not a dipper?
I bet he is.
I bet you he is.
I bet he is.
But he has respect for the spittoon?
Yeah, yeah. So the old brass spittoon was given first in 1950 to the winner of this game. It was started by class president Eugene McDermott. Mm. It doesn't say what school he went to.
Any relation to Doug?
No, I don't know. I mean, Dougie McBuckets? They are a Midwest family.
Nobody's related to the actor Dylan McDermott, so.
There you go.
Why is that not surprising?
No, yeah, I just made that up.
They don't have, like, a history of this trophy other than this class president was like, here.
That's it, huh?
That's it. Yeah,
I mean,
end scene.
I'm not against that.
No.
Not against it.
No. It just seemed like the right thing to do.
All right. The final matchup here in this one is a doozy.
Can we say that the old brass spittoon, that should be a Tobacco Road rivalry?
North Carolina Duke?
Yeah. Or, yeah. Like, NC State Wake Forest, maybe. Like, yeah. You go down that one and you go, maybe that's the rivalry trophy for them. Because, I mean, I don't think of Chew when I think of Indiana, yeah. But not as much like East Lansing, Michigan.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
You know. Our last matchup, though, the Milk Can Trophy.
Wow.
Between Boise State and Fresno State. It's a Mountain West matchup. It takes on the Bronze Boot of Wyoming and Colorado State. And both of these are exactly what you think they are. A bronze combat boot mm-hmm. for Wyoming, Colorado State, and a very polished 1920s-esque giant milk can.
Yeah.
A lot of milk.
It's shiny.
Mm-hmm.
That gets me. It's shiny. Let me get this straight. So Fresno State, their rivalry games, they play for an oil can in a milk can.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds very Fresno-y.
It's on brand.
Yeah.
It's on brand. I think I'm going with the milk can for this one. And it makes sense, you know, Fresno with the agriculture background, Boise. I mean, they just have potatoes that we think of, but they got a lot of ag out there. I think that this is an on-brand. This is on-brand for both those programs.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go milk can on this one. The bronze boot is pretty good, though.
Bronze boot is good.
Anytime there's a boot involved, the beehive boot, the bronze boot, I'm in.
You know, every coach is like, you know where you can stick this boot?
Of course.
Right up there. Mm-hmm. Trophy case.
So there you go. Those are matchups for today.
Those are good ones. We got some really tough seeds here on day 5.
And we are more than halfway through our first round matchup of 64. Dun, 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 dun. Which will, as Dusty said yesterday, will lead us all the way right up to college football.
That's right. That's right.
Just like we planned it.
Right to the cusp of the college football season.
All right. Coming up next here on Danny and Dusty. Some people just think it's always about them. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. 'Cause you know it don't matter anyway.
say money, money won't get you too far.
Why can't he just go away like everybody else who retires?
What do you mean? He's your favorite Blazer of all time, Danny.
I get so sick and tired of hearing about how great Carmelo Anthony was, is, or I want to go back to times when Carmelo Anthony mattered. I don't. I don't. Look, was he good on the American Olympic teams? Yes. Was that the only point in his entire career where he accepted a lesser role and a lesser standing? Yes. And it's also the only time in his career where he was successful.
No, he won a national championship at Syracuse.
Okay. Professionally. Professionally.
Yeah.
So.
All right. But he probably got paid a lot to go to Syracuse, too.
Yeah, you're not wrong. The whole thing about him sitting courtside and being with LeBron and the last of his banana boat BFF, yeah, while Dwayne Wade's calling games.
Yeah, gold medal game. He was front and center, courtside in Paris.
Yeah.
As D. Wade was calling the game, LeBron was backpacking Team USA
again,
up until the final.
Carmelo and Chris Paul, not a part of it.
Yeah, all right. Kind of how it goes.
You know.
I mean, it is LeBron.
LeBron shows his BFF, and it was Dwayne Wade. But he thinks of himself quite highly, as he was sitting there courtside against Serbia and against Paris, and he just knew. He just knew everything that was going to happen.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Coach on the floor.
Coach on the floor. I'm sorry, where was the audio from?
This is a podcast with, oh, goodness gracious.
Hold on, I can find it.
He was on a podcast. Oh, my, I'm just spacing on the names right now.
It's called 7 p.m. in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Yes, with Miro.
Miro, yeah.
This is the podcast that he does with him, where he just, he had to regale everybody with how great he was.
And this, it was no holds barred. This is really us against the world. And I have to do everything I have to do to give back to this game. To help you win this game. Whatever I can do from this perspective over here, I'm going to do it. Bron, we got to dig deep. We got to go. I need you to tap into that. End of the game. Joel, man, slip out. Set the screen. Get Steph open. Yo, Joel Flair, go set it for KD now. Now, KD, we got what we want. I also knew what we were trying to do. I seen it ahead of time. I look at the five. Look at the time. Okay. No. KD, go get the ball. Joel, go set the screen. Flair for Steph, then go set the screen. Slip out. They gonna switch. This is what we want. Again, I'm not saying like, oh, I was just having fun with this shit and talking basketball and being competitive from a sideline. I felt like I was on a team again.
Being competitive from the sideline.
Sure sounded like he was taking a lot of that credit there. He sounded like he was coaching. We need to get him a fourth gold medal.
Wow.
That's what I gathered out of this.
This is can't let go of the game.
But there is an element, though, of when you watch a game, you say a lot of those same things.
Sure.
I'm
not taking credit for Chauncey Billups running an ATL.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Carmelo is talking about, him literally coaching from courtside seats, saying, Joel, you got a flair.
I know what they're trying to get to. I know how to get Steph the ball here.
And he does. He does. He absolutely does. But I think you went a little too far on your credit. Yeah. Maybe we should give him that fourth gold medal. No. Steve Kerr got a lot of criticism until that final game.
Mm.
And maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was.
Steph Stavros is what Steve Kerr is known for.
Carmelo Anthony. No, is Carmelo Anthony saving us?
Oh, okay.
Carmelo Anthony saved Steve Kerr from the embarrassment of losing to France. I mean, that's what I gathered out of that.
It's just...
That's what I gathered out of it.
It's all so very dumb. It's all so very dumb. Just
I love Carmelo Anthony for this.
Be a basketball ambassador.
It makes me
go sell your weed. Go sell your wine.
Yeah.
Sell whatever it is. Hawk whatever it is you're hawking. But stop. Let go. Let go.
He's not going to let go because he coached that team up to a gold medal win. They ran away with that thing at the end.
It's just. I know the ego won't allow it to happen, but just as bad as this is, when LeBron steps away, it's going to be bad.
LeBron's going to be the
same
way.
When he retires, it's going to be so bad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's already done. Well, I knew this was going to happen. I saw this coming.
I hope.
The number of things LeBron James has seen coming already we don't have enough time to go through.
But I hope that when LeBron steps away, what shuts him up and makes it so he doesn't get to this point is
this kid
owning the NBA team in Vegas.
Yeah.
And the NBA saying,
you can't talk anymore.
Shh.
Well, unless it's about your team.
Yeah. And then at that point, we know what's going to happen then. And that
I'll be okay with that.
Then he'll be one of the great owners in sports because he'll always be saying out of pocket stuff about his own team. It'll be great
because we all know what happens with new owners, no matter what. LeBron's it's going to be the same way it was with Jordan. Remember early on, he knew better.
Mm-hmm.
I played.
Kwame Brown.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We've all been here before. So I just. This isn't even touch on the fact that Carmelo Anthony also said he wouldn't trade one of his gold medals for an NBA title.
Oh, yeah.
Liar.
He did say that.
Would you trade your free Olympic gold medals for one NBA ring?
I've never been asked that question. No.
Yeah,
when we talk about global sport, for me, a medal means something totally different than an NBA championship.
Easy.
They both have their own separate meanings, but winning a gold medal, it's the passion, it's the pride that you have, not just for a city or a state, for a whole nation, for a whole country, you're winning for it. So it's a different level of, I would say, pride that you have when you're wearing USA across your chest or you're wearing Lithuania across your chest, right? It's a totally different feeling than Knicks, New York across your chest.
What I think from that is he says the Knicks are lesser than. Also, that the one time he was willing to sacrifice, which was what Team USA was, is the one thing he won't sacrifice.
Yeah. He did go no Lyles.
It's different.
He's like, dude, how can you say we weren't world champs when, how about his bronze medal? Would he trade his bronze medal for a ring then?
Oof. The answer should be yes. Think about it. If Carmelo Anthony won an NBA title, he would be looked at so drastically different.
Yes, he would.
Drastically different. Even one.
But
just one.
I also think that, we talked about this with quarterbacks in the NFL. And in the NFL, and playing quarterback is different than in basketball because one guy can take
you. Can win you a title. Yeah.
To an NBA championship. And more so in the prime of Carmelo's career than at any other time,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he could have just teamed up with with LeBron. But again, who did LeBron choose?
D-Wade.
D-Wade. He went down and he chose Mello, to go with D-Wade.
Not only that, Melo wanted that extra year.
Yeah.
Everybody else lined up their contracts. He's like, I like my money.
So you think of that it is a little, because Carmelo Anthony was an incredible scorer.
Yeah.
An incredible scorer.
No doubt about it.
But it was always everything else that kind of got in his way from winning a title and getting everybody to pull in the same direction and knowing which direction that was to pull in, too. It was always a massive criticism.
Directly into his bank account.
Yeah.
That's the direction he pulled in.
That's where everything went to. That,
which, again, I don't fault, but you don't get to have it both ways.
He was an incredible basketball player. I mean, the things, when he took over a game, you would just go,
and here we go.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Melo's on one tonight.
In the mid post and going to work.
Yep.
But, which is insane. The thing about Carmelo Anthony, I think it bothers me so much from my own personal view, is that I should love Carmelo Anthony's game because I love players like that.
Yeah. Creators, scorers.
That work in the mid range, that had multiple facets, had that mid post, the ability to face up, go the other way. Like,
wasn't the most explosive player, but just always got clean looks.
But yet all the other stuff about him, like, I have just nothing to do with him.
Yeah. Except for all of his jerseys that you have.
Yes, all of them.
Framed.
All right, coming up next.
Over your bed.
Haley Welch, otherwise known as the Hawk Tua.
Hawk Tua. Hawk Tua. Spit on that thing.
Her. Look, she's getting some unfair shade, and we have to address this coming up here. But first, here's the Buck Truck with the Sports Zone update.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Haley Welch, but you know her as the Hawk Tour.
Hawk Tour, spit on that thing.
Look, usually somebody's level of fame goes down a little bit each time with this kind of thing, or it's short-lived.
Yeah, she also is Tilly from Big City Greens.
Mm-hmm. Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
Look, I don't care what this says about me. Her voice makes her hotter.
Yeah. Southern Belle.
It's the right lane.
You're not wrong.
It's not too country.
Yep.
Because you go too country or you go too Cajun.
Woo!
You sound like Channing Tatum as Gambit. Gonna make a name for myself out here. It's a little too much. But she's getting some stick because she went out to a Mets game, threw a first pitch, which was fine. But they held a press conference for her following the game. And people got
big mad on the internet.
Super mad because the Mets got stomped.
Yeah.
They got absolutely stomped. Like, why are you hosting this press conference with this woman?
I think if we know one thing about the Mets this year, it is they went the complete opposite direction. They went on, an 8-game winning streak when they had Grimace, which is a big, fat, purple blob from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And you go hot, that's the opposite direction of Grimace.
Yeah.
You can't have Grimace be the good luck charm and then bring in a hot and say, we're going to be really good.
No, it's not going to work.
Them's the rules. I didn't make them.
Haley Welch has already done a couple of cool things with her fame. Like, she's gone out and had her fun, and she did Whitney Cummings' podcast and had some fun there, and, you know, just obviously making money.
Yeah.
Which, good. Go make your money.
Get that 15 minutes.
But she's also gone out and, like, done a bunch of stuff for pets already. I mentioned it the other day. That one of the first things she did when she got famous is somebody gave her a bunch of money. Instead, she donated it all to like local pet shelters. Like she went to Petco or PetSmart or one of those pet stores and gave all the money away and bought pet food and treatments. And
see, that's
like,
good.
She's not getting milkshake duck yet.
Not quite.
Well, and she's keeping that going because she has said, look, this is from her Twitter account. So I guess some of the baseball community wasn't too happy to see me yesterday. The main reason I went to the game was spread awareness and donate to America's Vet Dogs, which pairs dogs with war veterans for a forever home.
Look at that. See?
So the whole
we're dragging her for having the press conference, but the press conference was so she could talk about vet dogs.
It wasn't spit on that thing.
It wasn't to go make money.
We're not spitting on the dogs, Buckley.
Dogs might spit on you.
The dogs will drool. Yeah.
She was just in the
concrete jungle, wet dream tomato,
to spread the awareness of vet dogs.
Yeah.
Which it is so on brand that we talk, that video comes out this week and she's in New York City. The concrete jungle.
Well, I think that was the part of
wet
the
dreams
like she's,
tomatoes.
She's doing a
it's beautiful
PR tour through New York.
All right, so we're not going to drag her.
No,
but the Mets—they've had problems with their first pitches.
I mean,
Grimace has been the best one, led to a win streak. I mean, you have this Haley Welching that got everybody upset.
50s was there, right?
50 Cent had the infamous throw it from I don't know what arm angle that was. Yeah. But
lefty to the first baseline somehow.
That was something
really
else.
Hard to do.
You have
a
had
a break on that thing.
Remember just this year as well, they had the fiasco with Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney before their big boxing match where they didn't even get to the point where they threw out the first pitch. They kicked both of them out of the stadium before they threw the first pitch. Like, the Mets are on one with first pitches this year, and I don't know if they're doing it right or completely wrong. We haven't talked about any other first pitches this year. Like, the only other first pitches that you ever talk about are if they are absolutely horrible, 50 Cent, or if it's like, remember when the Padres had the Cirque du Soleil folks out there to do like the cartwheel, or a gymnast does something cool with their first pitch? AJ McCord had her viral first pitch for the Hillsboro Hops, where she did gymnastics stuff with that. I don't even know what it was, but she did like a one-handed cartwheel into a pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than
both
that,
of us would die if we tried that.
My shoulder would be out. Yeah. My shoulder dislocated watching that
My
happen.
Hip would fall out the back.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. We would be an absolute mess if we tried that. So I don't know if the Mets are doing this completely right or completely wrong. I'm more interested in the Mets' first pitch than any other team in Major League Baseball right now.
It's the one time in the game you say the Mets won't lose.
Yet they took an L yesterday for having Haley Welch, and we're defending Hawk Tua Girl now.
I think I'm becoming pro.
Yeah,
pro Hawk Tua.
Mm. I think you have always been pro Hawk Tua, but
you're not wrong.
We also need to address the fact that there have been plenty of reasons for her 15 minutes to be up now, and they just continue to stay in.
I'm okay with her hanging
stay in
out.
The positive.
I'm okay right with then? Her hanging around.
You're
she
right.
She's a hot who's mildly interesting.
I also saw on this yesterday, it caused a bit of a conundrum for some sports writers because certain publications didn't want their writers explaining to readers or people on Twitter why she was
famous. Yeah, the New York Post said
so. I think
no.
Newsweek as well was like, yeah, don't, you can't say who she is that's throwing out the first pitch. And this person like retweeted reporters like, I'm not allowed to say who's throwing out the first pitch, but here she is throwing out the first pitch. I don't know why she's famous. Like, the Mets had to call her, I think, viral internet sensation, and SNY just said internet personality, but there were
it's hilarious that New York
of
publications of all things
a lot of old white execs
especially
like,
the Post. Like, the Post, that is just bizarre.
Yeah, I'm just like...
And then SNY, you have Keith Hernandez on your broadcast.
Keith
Hernandez says weird stuff all the time.
I was begging. I remember telling you when we walked in, I saw that she was throwing out the first pitch. I go, I want her with Keith Hernandez right now.
Yeah, that right conversation now would have been straight gold. And I think that's probably why SNY didn't want it out there, is because Keith Hernandez would have been like, need her in the booth. We need to talk to her about some things here.
So what exactly did you mean when you said spit on that thing?
Yeah, Keith Hernandez would have gotten his Just For Men, hopped in the bathroom, and got that gray out real quick. And then he would have been like, all right.
They could have asked her about sticky stuff and baseballs.
Oh, they sure could have.
Would have been great.
Spitball's been out, has been banned for a damn near century, but...
You would have been a great thing to do for her to throw out the first pitch if she spit on the ball.
Spit on that thing!
She really should have spit on that thing.
She needed to.
Right?
That is the proper way to throw out that first pitch.
Just tell the
pitch.
Catcher, like, hey, do you mind if I spit on this thing? He'd probably been like, nah, you go
Even
ahead.
If you fake it, like she does on the microphone in the interview.
Do you think... Because usually, like, for a first pitch of a game, like, you see, like, a player like roll out there and he's like, all right, whatever. Do you think the Mets players are like, no, I'll do this one, guys?
Everybody's like, no, you send the rookie out to go get this one. I bet you the rookie might have wanted to go out and get this one. I'll go. Now y'all are too old. I got this one.
That's perfect.
Well, from a little bit of a redemption story to, wow, there's some really crooked people at the University of Notre Dame.
Oh,
terrible humans at that school.
Do we chalk this up to terrible people or kids being kids?
I mean, I just at Notre Dame specifically.
Dumb kids.
Notre Dame specifically. They just don't have good
Wonder
people.
Where that comes from.
I have no idea. That and Mark Maybe and Danny Dusty Tinney, the Fan. The story bubbled up yesterday as we were getting off air, and it's now come to a head, and it's not even entirely started.
This story,
it makes me
laugh, actually.
Notre Dame's men's swimming program has been suspended for the entire year before the year even gets underway.
Yep.
Because they have found so many egregious problems, particularly as it pertains to an intra-squad gambling ring.
All right. So this is what happened here. What was uncovered in somebody in the athletic administration office got a hold of a text chat, among a group chat amongst the male swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to find that they were running a sports book setting over unders on each person's race for that day, where you could bet the over or the under for anybody on the team, right? That on the surface, you're like, okay, literally every college athlete at the beginning of every single year, it's the conversation that everybody's just like, okay, let get this over with. But somebody comes in and they tell you about gambling, tobacco use, drug use, performance enhancing drug use, alcohol use, mm-hmm. what the standards and operating procedures for your university are. Every single year you go through it, you have to sign an agreement, blah, blah, blah. But one thing that you know is that you cannot gamble on any sport, especially
your own
sport. Okay. Now,
regardless of who the bookie is,
suspending the entire program for a year means that Notre Dame found that their men's swimming program, everybody was involved with this, because the NCAA has new guidelines on gambling. Mm-hmm. If you wager $200 or less, you have to do a sports wagering rules and prevention education.
Like, hey, dummy, remember this?
$201 to $500, you lose 10% of your season plus the education program. $501 to $800, 20%, and prevention education. Anything greater than $800 is loss of 30% of a season plus rules and prevention education. For cumulative wagering activities over $800, the NCAA then has the discretion to suspend you or take your eligibility
completely away.
Okay? So
basically, if they find you've been egregious to the point of zero redemption, you're done.
Notre Dame taking an entire season away says, yep, this was pretty egregious and pretty aggressive.
Yep, and they're allowing the athletes to transfer if they want to, but the downside of this, or for the athletes, is that the suspensions will follow them.
Yeah, so
you can transfer and maybe not have the stink on you for a little bit at another school, but you're suspended for the year.
Okay. Now, my favorite part of this is Pete Bevacqua is the AD at mm-hmm. Notre Dame. He is quoted as saying what they found in that group chat, quote, "It did not meet Notre Dame's expectation that they treat one another with dignity and respect." And why that makes me chuckle is that all that means is that they were betting on their teammates to fail and to lose and then mocked them endlessly.
Endlessly. Which, look, minus the gambling, is how this is supposed to go.
Now, there is an element of, dude, don't gamble. But then the other part is, dudes being dudes, they were giving each other a whole lot of ass.
Yeah.
And that is the most relatable college experience that I could imagine right there, is they were all just going at each other. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that having some skin in the game really amplified
the
back and forth.
The testosterone
stuff.
Of that group chat?
But the fact that Notre Dame's AD was so appalled that it didn't meet the standards of treating others with dignity and respect.
I mean,
I didn't see this coming from a men's swim team, but here we are. Sometimes it's the sport you least expect.
You know who loves seeing this?
Mm.
The NCAA.
Yeah, they sure
do. You know why? They're like, we're so back, baby.
We are so back.
Look at the hammer that we can drop on the Speedo wearing swimmers.
Yeah.
Because are you kidding me? This is their piece de resistance.
Now,
rampant gambling at a premier institution. Oh baby, they get to show how much power they have.
Now, what they haven't said or, you know, even alluded to or released is that, like, this wasn't affecting the outcomes of events.
Well, as of now.
Yes. And I feel like
the fact that they went from one day, hey, they're being investigated, to the next day, we're suspending them the entire year, leads me to believe that this is bad.
Well, there's probably more money than, I mean, these think are of Notre Dame swimmers. Athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not exactly poor. I think the amount of money is probably what did this. But, I mean, think as a competitive person, mm-hmm. and all of these guys are competitive people because they're Division I swimmers, right? As a competitive person, I don't think that your internal betting scheme that you have going on is going to sit there and lead you to throwing a race, right?
No.
Like, you're not throwing a race because one of your roommate has some juice on you. And I guarantee you that one of the rules within this is you can't bet the over on yourself, right? So you swim slow. Like, I would be shocked if they were throwing races because of this internal betting scheme, because your scholarship's on the line, your spot on the team is on the line. You're not going to do that, and it's not like the mafia is going to break your legs because of this little scheme that they got going. That's usually what gets people to throw games, is fear, blackmail, and I don't think that that's happening in the Notre Dame's internal swim team betting scheme.
I mean,
but giving each other some hell and betting on your bros? Hell yeah.
My pushback to this
is, has Pete Bavakwa never golfed? That's my question.
Yeah. My pushback to this is, in the Colorado locker room, that was happening with gambling and guns and threats.
Yeah.
And retribution and fear. So, just saying, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for it happening at the grand institution that is Notre Dame.
So are they canceling Notre Dame football for a year or what?
I mean, with that schedule, they might as well.
All right. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. All right, that does it for us this week. We'll see you next week from noon to 3. Monday, we'll have a big show for you. Coming up next, you got Primetime. Isaac and Souk. 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.